15 minutes had dragged by. She was sorry she had lost her temper with them. They were conscientious types, and had been very careful with the computer and all the other electrical stuff. She seemed always to be losing her temper these days, but the way life had treated her, it was hardly surprising. Again, she tried to raise Will on her mobile, but the message, "No network coverage," came up on the screen as before. Damn! She hadn't meant to give voice to the word, but it was too late. Toby stirred on her lap and muttered, but to her relief he settled again and did not wake. She squirmed deeper into the armchair and pulled the duvet more tightly around them. Please, where the gods have pity, don't let it rain. A gust of wind whipped across the garden. She could hear unseen bushes rustling and chafing, tree branches creaking, an invisible world coming to life around her. The year's fallen leaves swirled into renewed animation and made whispers, tiny fragments of laughter, as they skittered up the garden path. Another gust and crash! Squeak! Crash! Squeak! Crash! Who's there? Fear she had no time to hide was in her voice. Who's out there? As the waxing moon broke free from a ragged edge of cloud, Alice could see the front garden gate, latchless and swinging. Squeak, crash. Squeak, crash. Her overwrought nerves couldn't cope with the unexpected noise. Will would have to fix it. Toby woke up. Is that Dad? Then thankfully his eyes closed and he slept again. The moon vanished as suddenly as it had appeared, like a last-second hope denied. The darkness seemed even deeper than before. She felt a surge of outrage. How could he do this to them? After all she'd had to endure. Then the thought struck her that he might not be coming at all, that he might have set this all up with no intention of joining them. Some men did these things. They planned them meticulously, months, even years in advance. An abandoned wife, a vanished husband, just another name on the endless list of missing persons. 10 years of marriage ending in silence, ending like this in the cold darkness. Memories like a fantasy, a clamour of phantoms. She snuggled deeper into the duvet, tugged it tighter around her shoulders. It was colder than she had expected, chilly air creeping in at the edges, no matter how tight she pulled it. Would they survive the night? Perhaps she should try to find a neighbour. There must be people out here somewhere. But she couldn't see any house lights. How far would they have to walk to find assistance? The station taxi had driven through a village, but she couldn't remember how far away it was. A mile, 2 miles, even further? She'd have to break into the house. Yes, that was the best idea. Break in and smash up the dining chairs to make a fire. Then at least they'd be warm. She had a kettle and there was milk in the cool box. And biscuits somewhere. Tomorrow she would find a neighbour and get help. But what would she tell them? What could she say if Will had simply gone off with her? The tale she told would seem like the raving of a half-wit. But then she must have been out of her mind to have trusted him again. The wind was picking up. Was there a storm coming? She couldn't remember what the weather girl had said. About to leap to her feet and smash a window, she saw headlights coming down the lane. The vehicle slowed when it reached the cottage, its headlights sweeping the front of the building, revealing the mellow handmade bricks of the 18th century walls. Then the car pulled onto the short, unmade drive, its lights still on, revealing the chairs, bed bases, mattresses, tables, and the stack of cardboard boxes piled high on the path. Will Harding, an athletic 37-year-old, climbed from the car and hurried towards her, his anxious expression quickly hardening into stoical resignation. The relief that swept through her at the sight of his mass of wild curls and designer stubble was already shifting to anger. How dare he do this, after all she'd had to suffer through the summer? Where the hell have you been, Will? You were supposed to be here first and let us in. The taxi dropped us off hours ago. He replied more curtly than he had intended. It was foggy. There was an accident. I was stuck in the tailback. Nothing I could do about it. What accident? There was no fog here. The removal guys got straight through. You could have rung me. I tried. There's no bloody signal here. I felt like I'd been abandoned in medieval England. He looked suddenly weary. I'm sorry. I did my best. Damn it, Will, you organise this. It's not my fault we had to come here. Her words checked him. She caught his fleeting guilty look. His temper flared. Never stop reminding me, will you? You caused the problems, she gestured at the furniture, and now look at the mess we're in. She realised